We do a mission trip to Guatemala every summer. If you've never been on one of those, it truly is a life-changing experience. I'd encourage you to consider it for next summer. This is the final week of our series on Samson. If you have your Bibles with you, you can turn to Judges chapter 16. It's page 174 in your pew Bible. And we are looking at one of the most frustrating characters in the Bible. This is a guy who was given so much by God. From birth, Samson was set apart and called by God, empowered with supernatural strength from God. And of course, God did this for a purpose. It wasn't by accident. Samson was supposed to help free his people from the oppressive rule of the bad guys, the Philistines. But even though Samson was given this great power and great strength, he, just like so many of us, messed up again and again and again. We said that he was an incredibly strong man with a dangerously weak will. And again, he broke his vows to God. He chased after the wrong women, touched things he wasn't supposed to touch, drank things he wasn't supposed to drink, and got a really bad haircut when he wasn't supposed to get his haircut. We also looked at his emotions, and we saw that often he was emotion-driven rather than being spirit-led. Just like many of us are. That's a problem for a lot of us. Our emotions get out of control. Things like anger and pride drive us to do things, and we're not spirit-led. Last week we saw that most people don't ruin their lives all at once. How do they ruin their lives? One step at a time. Right. We saw that Samson ruined his own life one step at a time, step by step by step. This guy had been given so much, and blessed with so much, just like many of us have been. He basically blew it all. This week, we're going to pick up the story when he's now a prisoner. He's in chains. He's blind. Attached to a grinding wheel that was designed for an ox, he's pushing this grinding wheel around in a circle hour after hour, day after day. Everybody's mocking him, calling him names, making fun of him. You just cannot get any lower than this. And that raises the question, what do you do when you realize that you have really blown it in life? What do you do when you realize you have wasted years of your life? You've wasted the gifts God has given you. You've done things that you cannot undo. You've said things and hurt people that you cannot undo. You're embarrassed by your actions, and you didn't do what God created you to do. What do you do? You know, let me talk for a second to the men here, because we take this kind of failure very personally, even more so than most women do. And it's because men and women typically find their value in different ways. Women more often find value in relationships. What's really important often is more, do you like me? Are we friends? Can we hug? Can we cry? I mean, you took 72 seconds to text me back. Are we still BFFs? It's all about relationships. It's so important to women, and like even going to the bathroom is relational. You do it together. It's a group event. And meanwhile, us men are sitting there wondering, what in the world are they doing in the bathroom for half an hour? Men do not do that. In fact, if any guy asks me if I want to go to the bathroom with him, it's over. I am never hanging around with that guy again. Now, men, if you do happen to see a friend in the bathroom, that's okay, right? You're allowed to talk. But do not make eye contact. It's kind of an unwritten rule. You stare at the wall, right? And if you try to make eye contact, you lose your man card. I'm sorry. And it's because men are just different. We are not as relational. Now, we want to be liked, but that's not as big a deal for us, because our primary source of value is not so much whether we're liked, but whether we're respected. In fact, there is a really interesting thing, in the Love and Respect Marriage series, they bring out an interesting point. If you ask a woman, would you rather be loved or respected? A woman will almost always answer, if I have to choose, I would rather be loved. If you ask the same question to a man, would you rather be loved or respected? A man will almost always answer, I would rather be respected. Isn't that interesting? A man wants to know, how do I measure up? You know, did I do good? Did we win? Did we conquer? You know, it's more about whether he's respected, even more so than whether he's liked. Because for men, it's not all about relationships. It's not so much, do you like me? It's, do you respect me? And that means that when we fail, and when we lose the respect of other people, we take it so personally. Sometimes we wonder if we will ever recover from failure. And that's why, generally speaking, a man's greatest fear is failure. His greatest fear is failure, and his greatest pain is regret. Our greatest fear is, I do not want to fail. I want to measure up. I want to be successful. And when we don't live up to our own expectations or to others' expectations, our greatest pain is regret. You know, I wish I hadn't done this. I wish I could go back and change things. Why I shouldn't have, you know, and all these regrets. In fact, there are many of us here, just based on the law of averages, many of us here, that one day you're going to face some significant regrets. Maybe one day you'll look back at a failed marriage and you'll say, you know what, I could have done something. I could have saved that, and it was my fault. And now you regret it. Or maybe you look back and you've got kids and you weren't there for them and now they've rejected you and you're just full of regrets about that. Or this could look like the guy who regrets never marrying. And years later he's like, you know, I wish I had treated her better. I wish I had, and you know, not been so selfish, and now it's too late. Or it might be the guy who's so frustrated by the job he's in, he feels like his career is beneath him, and he just lives paycheck to paycheck, and other friends are doing better, and now he's full of regrets about that. You know, or it may not be the outward failure at all. It might be something inside that nobody else sees. It's the promise that he made to himself, or the promise that he made to God. You know, like, God, I am never going to do this again, or I'm going to start doing this, and I'm going to do it from now on. And then by Thursday, he's failed. And again, you're full of regrets. Samson's story teaches us something that we have to embrace, internalize, and live with. It's the principle that just because you failed at something does not mean you're a failure. In fact, that's the key thought for today. A failure is an event, never a person. A failure is an event, never a person. We're going to see in Samson's life a guy who failed over and over and over and over again. And when it looks like he has failed too often for God to ever even love him, much less ever use him again, when it looks like that, then we see that God still uses him to accomplish God's purposes. God still uses a man that repeatedly could not get it right. You see, in God's eyes, just because you're down, you are not out. You have never failed too often for God. This is good news for some of us here. Just because you're down, you are not out. If you failed something, you are not a failure, because a failure is an event, never a person. Let's watch this story unfold in Judges 16, starting verse 23. It says, "Now the rulers of the Philistines," those are the bad guys, "assembled to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to celebrate, saying, 'Our God has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands.'" So they're gathered at this place. It's a huge building. It would look like a coliseum today. There's a huge open area with layers of seating on top of each other. In fact, there's a huge flat roof that is seating 3,000 people just on the roof, not to mention the thousands on the main floor. So this is a huge building. And they're worshiping Dagon, which is their idol. Dagon had a man's head and a fish's body, So they worship this man-fish god, and they're making sacrifices and praising him and saying, "Oh, thank you, man-fish god, for delivering Samson into our hands." Now, by the way, I have to say personally, you know, aren't you thankful that we don't worship a man-fish god? You know, that it just sounds like a little strange, sounds a little fishy to me. Verse 24, when the people saw Samson, they praised their God, saying, our God has delivered our enemy into our hands, the one who laid waste our land. You remember a couple weeks ago when we talked about the story of how Samson caught all these 150 pairs of foxes, tied torches to their tails, and let them loose in the farmer's fields. That's what they're talking about here. They're saying he laid waste our land. And the one who did what else? And multiplied our slain. You remember the story about Samson takes a jawbone and kills 1,000 Philistine warriors. So they're saying, hey, this is the guy. He's the one who did that. But our manfish God is obviously stronger than his God, because look where Samson is now. In verse 25, while they were in high spirits, they shouted, bring out Samson to entertain us. So they called Samson out of the prison, and he performed for them. Now, when it says he performed, he wasn't doing a song and dance routine. You know, this is not like Philistine idol and it's showing on all the TV stations. No, even though the Philistines were worshiping an idol. But basically, this means that they had him stand there while they laughed at him and made fun of him. And the truth is, this is like the ultimate low point. I mean, we talked about how a man's greatest fear is failure. Here, Samson is being shamed and humiliated in front of thousands and thousands of his enemies. People are despising his God, and, you know, he's just failed massively. Now, there are two possible responses to failure. The natural response is remorse. And unfortunately, that's where a lot of people stop. Remorse is, I feel bad about what I did. You know, I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have done it. I regret it. Sometimes remorse will turn inward. And so I say, well, I'm a bad person. I'm, you know, horrible. I have no future. I hate myself. I hate what I did. You know, and it turns inward. Other times, it turns outward. And we say, well, it's all their fault. They did it to me. You know, I'm the victim. This wouldn't have happened if you hadn't or if they hadn't. You know, and you know, it's all Delilah's fault. She stabbed me in the back, and all I wanted to do is dedicate a love song on the radio, and it's all her fault. And, you know, with remorse, it can turn inward or outward. If it turns outward, we look for somebody to blame. In fact, some of you, especially you men, only remember one verse from last week. It's the verse in verse 16 where it says, she prodded him and nagged him day after day until he was, what? Anybody remember? Tired to death. Yeah, I knew some of you could memorize scripture there. In fact, by the way, that is not a good verse for you men to quote to your wives. You know, I'm not going to say if I'm speaking from experience here, but, you know, when you get in an argument, that is not a good verse to use. Just trust me on this one. In fact, there's only like two verses that in this story you do not want to use if you're married. You know, it's that one, and then there's the one about, don't let anyone plow with your heifer. And if you have no idea what I'm talking about, you missed a couple weeks ago, and you missed all the good jokes. But anyway, the first response to failure is remorse, either inward, I'm a loser, I'm no good, or outward, it's all your fault, it's their fault. But there is a better response to failure, and that is repentance. The natural response is remorse. The better response is repentance. With repentance, we start by admitting we blew it, just like remorse. I own it, my fault, I goofed up, but we don't stop there. It's not just, I didn't do what God wanted and I'm sorry about it. No, you then go to the next step, which is I not only turn away from the wrong, but I turn toward what is right. That's what repentance actually means. Remember from last week we talked about, somebody doesn't ruin their life all at once. How do we do it? We do it one step at a time. And if we find ourselves going the wrong direction, what do? We turn around and we go the opposite direction. That's what repentance is. When we turn around, we go the opposite direction. Remorse simply focuses on the bad. You know, I blew it. I goofed up. I'm sorry. I regret it. Just focuses on the bad, but then stops there. Repentance takes the next step. You turn around and you actively commit to what's right. You commit, to God that I'm committing to follow your ways and your purposes now. You see, all of us are going to do some things in life that we really regret. You can just count on that fact. For example, there are many times when I just really got angry at somebody, blew it, or I lost my temper, and I let them know it. And then later on, I realized I didn't have the whole story. You know, if I had checked all the facts to start with, I wouldn't have said some of the things that I said, but now it's too late. And, you know, things like that, you can't go back and undo. There are some things that you do, you can't undo. Some things you say, you can't unsay. Some emails you send that you can't unsend, you know, which is why I love this video that we're going to show now. Let's go ahead and start that.
Oh. Oh, no. Rod, you sent this email, reply all. You hit reply all. No! I was messing with you. You just emailed it to me. So gullible.
Get it!
You got me. So when are you headed home? Five-ish? I like that.
All of us wish that it was possible to go back and undo some of those major things that we've done, but you can't. There are some things you cannot undo, but you can repent. There are some things you cannot unsay, but you can repent. For some of you, there might come a realization at some point in your life that you can't unsleep with that person you slept with, but you can repent. Whatever it is in your life that you can't undo, you can repent. Again, repent does not just mean, oh, I'm sorry, I blew it, I admit I shouldn't have done it. No, that's remorse. Remorse is fine, but I'm talking repent, which means that I turn toward God's ways. Because you can't undo the way you hurt somebody, you can't unlook at what you looked at, you can't go back in time and do the thing that you failed to do, but you can repent. You can repent. And I believe that Samson came to a point in his life where he actually repented. It wasn't just remorse, but it was repentance. I believe he remembered at least a little bit of who he was created to be. He was realizing that I'm not created to be the entertainment for these people worshiping a man-fish god. I wasn't created to be shamed and humiliated in front of all these people. I was created for a purpose, to be set apart, used by God for a great purpose, to do something significant that would be used by God for the rest of eternity. I was created for a purpose. And I think Samson realized what all the people in this room need to realize, although a lot of times we forget it. It's my prayer that everybody in this church would realize at some point that you were created for a great purpose, that you were created to make a difference in your life, with you know, in God's kingdom, that you were created to do something significant that would be used by Him. And I hope that you don't let your spiritual enemy sneak in and just lure you back to remorse. Remorse is not enough. Oh, I wish I could have, I shouldn't have, I didn't, I hate myself, it's not my fault. That's not enough. Instead of remorse and regret, you've got to go on to repentance. I'm not going to let what I did stop me from doing what God wants me to do. That's repentance. I'm not going to let what I did stop me from doing what God wants me to do. And so I'm turning away from my sin and I'm turning toward commitment to God. I can't change my past, but I can change my future. You see, just because you're down, you're not out. And a failure is never an event. It is always an event, never a person. You're not a failure. You are who God tells you that you are. You're his son, his daughter, his heir, his child. And Samson realizes this right at the end of his life. In verse 25 it says, when they stood him among the pillars, so he's in this temple like a Colosseum with these giant pillars that support the weight of the place, Samson said to the servant who held his hand, put me where I can feel the pillars that support the temple so that I may lean against them. Now the temple was crowded with men and women. All the rulers of the Philistines were there, and on the roof were about 3,000 men and women watching Samson perform. Then Samson prayed to the Lord, Sovereign Lord, remember me, please. God, strengthen me just once more. In other words, I've blown it 1,000 times, but I don't need 1,000 more chances. I just need one more chance. Just one time, one more chance, God. Strengthen me once more because, God, I don't want my life to end in weakness and humiliation. I want it to end in strength. Even if just for a little bit right at the end, I don't want it to all end with weakness and shame. So give me one more chance, God. Strengthen me once more. Samson's at his lowest point, massive public humiliation. Nobody respects him anymore. Nobody loves him anymore. Nobody believes there's anything good left in him. They're all laughing and they're making fun of him. But internally, he's got this private moment with God. I believe it's a moment of repentance. And it's a moment just like many of you have had or will have again. Samson says, I've blown it, God. I can't undo what I did. But it doesn't stop with remorse. I want to do what's right now. Strengthen me again, Lord, just one more time so that I can honor and glorify you with it. I don't want my story to end in weakness and humiliation. Give me your strength, God, once more, and I'll use it this time for you. And I could just imagine Samson's prayer, you know, God, these Philistines are worshiping this man-fish god. You know, they think that this god is stronger than you. They think he's beat you. God, show them that they're wrong. Let me show them how wrong they are. Let me just be strong once more and use it for your glory and honor. They'll see which god is really God and which is really strong. And the amazing part is that God answers his prayer, yes. You know, God didn't have to do that. I mean, God could have easily said, Samson, you've had too many chances already. You've blown it too often. You know, I've strengthened you before, but, your time is up. But God didn't do that. He says yes to Samson's prayer. You see, we serve a God who never gives up on us. Our God says, when a man is down, he is not out. He is not done. He's not over. He's not history. Our God gives us second chances. He strengthens the weak. He heals the sick. He sets free the captives. In fact, he does his best work in people who are weak, people like you and me. You see, even in our failures, God can still accomplish his purposes. Even in our failures, God can still accomplish his purposes. What was God's purpose for Samson's life? That he would deliver God's people from the cruel oppression of the Philistines. Verse 29 says, then Samson reached toward the two central pillars on which the temple stood. Bracing himself against them, his right hand on the one and his left hand on the other, Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. Then he pushed with all his might, and down came the temple on the rulers and all the people in it. Thus he killed many more when he died than while he lived. Now, nobody likes to see a story end with premature death of the hero of the story, right? Samson's life was a tragedy. It's an example for us of really how not to use the gifts God has given us, the good things he's put in our lives. It's an example how not to do it. But it's also a powerful illustration of how, even in our failures, God can still use us. Even when we have messed up, it is not over. You are not what you did. You are who God said you are. If you're not dead, you're not done. God will strengthen you again if you'll repent and turn to him. And so, I want to say this morning, quit living in remorse. quit living in, you know, I wish I hadn't, I feel so guilty, I'm a mess, you know, I'm never going to make anything of my career, you know, quit living, and another way of saying that is quit whining. Quit living in remorse and instead repent, turn towards God, and ask Him to strengthen you again. If you're a follower of Christ, you have the same Spirit in you that raised Christ from the dead. That is a strong, powerful Spirit living inside you. That Spirit will strengthen you again if you'll turn to God and ask Him. You may be down, but you are not out. He will strengthen you again. You can be that man or woman of God. You can be that leader. You can be that blessing to many, many people. You can be that example of what God can do through the weakest person if you'll repent and turn to Him. Now, let me tell you what it's going to take. For many of us, it's going to take pushing some pillars down, just like Samson pushed those pillars down. It's going to take us pushing some pillars down in our lives that are keeping us from what God wants. And so the question I have for you this morning is, what are the pillars in your life that need to come down? What are the pillars in your life that need to come down? And I want to get specific here. I put some blanks on your outline where you can write in specifically what this is, because there is one thing that I dread as a pastor. And that is that you'll come here for 4 weeks and hear about Samson and say, oh, you know, this is great stuff. I learned some new things about Samson. You know, good job, Ken. And then you'll go and do nothing with it. Nothing will change. You'll go on just like before. That is what I dread. And so I want to be specific here. What pillars are you pushing down? What pillars are you pushing down? And then how are you going to do it? How are you going to push those pillars down? Because I know for a fact there's nobody in this room who's perfect, not me, certainly. There's pillars I need to push down in my life. All of us have things that need to change. And so for some of us, it's time to push down pillars of pride. For some of us, it's time to push down pillars of anger. And, you know, maybe I'm mad at the world, but it's really I'm mad at myself. Or, you know, it could be anything, but what are you going to do about it? How are you going to push those down? What are you going to do different? You see, you can't say, well, I'm going to be different from now on, and then not do anything different. If you want a different result, you've got to do something different. Maybe you need to call and get counseling, or maybe you need to confess to somebody, or maybe admit, I need help, or whatever it is. But God has called you to do something great with your life, to be His man or His woman, to make a difference with your life, to build His kingdom. Don't just wallow in remorse and say, oh, I'm, you know, so bad, I'm guilty, I wish I was better. The answer is not remorse. The answer is repentance. Turn toward God and do something different, and then watch as God leads you step by step. You may be down, but you are not out. Proverbs 24:16. Let's end with the scripture. For though the righteous fall seven times, they rise again. That's talking about you. You may have fallen seven times. You may have fallen 7,000 times. Doesn't matter. It's time to rise and do something different to honor God with your life, because God will strengthen you once more if you ask Him. Satan loves to make strong men weak, but God loves to make weak people strong. Let's stand for prayer. I'd like a worship band to come up. And will you bow with me? Heavenly Father, I pray that Your Spirit would work deep within our hearts this morning, that Your Spirit would do a healing work. And that, God, no matter what we've done in the past, would You help us to see who You created us to be? And help us to see the pillars in our lives that need to come down. And then show us the next step. Show us how to push those pillars down. What's the first step that we need to take? God, help us not to get stuck in remorse, but to go on to repentance, to turn toward You, God, and to follow You daily, step by step. God, I pray that we would be different, forever different, because We've been in your presence because your word has been proclaimed and because your spirit is here. We thank you, God, that in your presence we cannot stay the same. And so I pray for life transformation by the power of Christ, that we wouldn't try to be stronger in our own strength, but that we'd admit our weaknesses and allow your strength to be made perfect through us. There are some of you here this morning that you may feel really guilty for the things that you've done. You look at your life, you say, I have blown it so badly. I've messed up so many different ways. Here's the good news. You're here today because God wanted you to be here. Because his love is greater than your greatest sin. And because God in his love for you, while we were still sinners, he sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us. Jesus actually became sin for us. He shed his blood on the cross to cover all of our sins. He died and he rose again so that anyone, and that includes you, doesn't matter what you've done, doesn't matter how low you feel, doesn't matter how far away from God that you've been in the past or feel like you are now, no matter what you've done, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. What does that mean? It means your sins will be forgiven. You'll be brand new. Your old life is gone. Everything is new. If you're not sure that's happened for you, you can just pray with me right now. Just say, Jesus, please take my life. Make me new. I step across the line right now. It's no longer about me. It's all about you. I give my life wholly and completely to you. And I ask you to make me new, make me yours. Fill me with your spirit so that I have the strength to serve you for the rest of my life. I repent and I turn to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.